Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord. And by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day, for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. And Father, we come in the name of Jesus asking for your blessings. And Father, we just pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. We pray that your will would be accomplished in it. And Father, we pray for the lost, that they would see their need of Jesus. And for the saved, that they would see their need to serve and grow and love you. And Father, live for you in this present world. Father, we ask for these blessings, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, going to begin in verse 1. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." And so what you have here is people waiting on the bridegroom. They're waiting, to be the maids of honor and to come in. And they're waiting for the bridegroom to come. And notice what it says following, "And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish." And so what you have here is you have people that are being wise versus people that are being foolish. They know that the bridegroom cometh. They know that he's going to come. They just don't know when. They don't know when he's coming. They know he's on his way. He's soon approaching, as we mentioned last week. In Revelation chapter 22, the Lord said that, "Behold, I come quickly." You know, he's on his way. He's on his way together, so we know that soon. And so 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And it says, "They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Now, why would you have a lamp without oil in it? Lamp is to give light in the darkness. And so what they're saying is, "Well, I know he's coming, I'm going to have a lamp with me, but don't need any oil." Well, that's foolish. What that is that's being unprepared for what's going to be needed. Maybe they think, well, he's going to come in the daytime. Maybe when they're told to come about, it's early in the morning. And they're thinking, well, surely he'll be here before the end of the day. And, you know, there's no sense in me taking oil. There's no sense in me getting ready for this. It'll be daylight. It'll be good and light when he comes. But Pilate said, you know what? He could come after it turns dark. There could be something that delays him. There could be something that tarries his coming for a while. And so we need to be ready in case he comes in an hour that we are not thinking he will come. So we're going to prepare and be ready for such an occasion. "The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven...'" Well, we're going to stop in verse 13. That's getting to a different thought in verse 14. But as you look at this point, what you're seeing here, some say, well, all these virgins were saved. That's not taught anywhere in the text. That's not anywhere in the text that all 10 virgins were saved. Well, they were virgins. It represents purity. No. He's giving an estimation. Why would there be virgins Going into the bridegroom, it was commonly known at this time that the women that would come to the bridegroom, they would all be virgins. That's why you call them bridesmaids and things of this nature. It's not talking about whether they're saved or lost. That they're all saved. It's talking about the difference between those that have prepared for the Lord's coming and those who have not. You know, some people think, well, the Lord will come at this certain time. The Lord will come at this certain place. This will happen at this certain time. I've got all the time in the world to make preparations for eternity. But the Bible says today is the day you need to be prepared. Today is the day that you need to be ready. You know that the Lord is coming. And my goodness, with everything going on in the world today and the mighty increase of sinfulness and the wickedness that's in the world, it should be easy for us to notice that the Lord is coming soon. But yet a lot have not made preparations. Some have made preparations by, well, I'm a member at this church. If I join the church, if I get baptized, if I do some good deeds, then I'm ready. No, you're not. The Bible teaches us there's only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're taught to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Put your faith in Him. Well, five thought that they could borrow from somebody else. Listen, you can't get my salvation. You can't use mine. It's only good for me. My goodness, I can't even give part of my salvation unto my children. I can teach them, I can tell them what to do, but they themselves will have to make the choice when they get to a certain place in life of whether they're going to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ or not. They're going to have to make that decision for themselves. I can't make it for them. And any parent gladly would if we could. We'd gladly give them a part of our salvation so that they could be saved, but that's not how it works. Apostle Paul made the statement for the people of Israel that he would gladly be accursed if it meant their salvation. He would gladly suffer hell himself if it meant their salvation, but that's not what's allowed. That's not how this works. An individual must trust in Christ themselves. And so you got five that understood that they needed to be ready for the time of the bridegroom's coming. And they prepared for it. When they were called and said, look, he's going to be coming soon. There's going to be a marriage when he gets here. You know what they did? They said, well, we need to make preparations. We need to make sure everything's in order. I remember years ago when I was a child, I was in the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, things of that nature. And while you were in that, you know, one of the things that I remember from that is, you know, the saying, always be prepared. For what? Anything. You never know what you're going to need. And that's one of the things that, even when I pack sometimes I pack a little bit extra. Sometimes when we're going on a trip somewhere with the family, my wife's like, why do you do this? And I go, just in case. I might need this. Sometimes I go through and think of things that I might not ever need. Do I have some matches? Do I have, maybe a fire through a cigarette lighter? We're not camping. We're not making a fire. You never know when you might need one. You know, I grew up with a pawpaw that one of his statements was, if you asked him if he had his knife on, he said, I got my britches on. In other words, I've always got my knife on me. And what he was saying with that is, I'm prepared that if it's needed, it can be used. You never know when it's going to be needed. And I've tried to follow that. I at least 99 times out of 100, I've got my knife on me. There might be a time where something came up and I forgot to have it on me, but usually I've got my knife on me. I've got a little pocket knife on me. I hardly ever go anywhere without a knife on me. In fact, as I'm speaking to you now, I just touched my pocket. I got my knife right there in my pocket. It's always there. Never know when you might need to cut a thread. You might need to open something for somebody. Might even need it for a defense. But whatever the cause is, if you have it, you're prepared. You're ready. There's a lot of people that don't do a lot of preparation. You know, that's the society that we live in, living from paycheck to paycheck, and they never save up for a rainy day. Early in life, yeah, you're not going to have that. Granted. You know, you start out. I even tell this to teenage boys starting out in life. Before they ever graduate high school, I said, look, get you a little side job, put you a little money back for a rainy day. All that happens, I'll be able to do this, I'll be able to do that. I said, better to have it than not. Sometimes a few hundred dollars in a safe place can get you out of a bind sometimes, can't it? All of a sudden, you're running low on money, you got low in your bank account. All of a sudden, there's a flat tire. All of a sudden, there's a medical emergency. All of a sudden, something comes up. A little bit stashed away goes a long way, doesn't it? You'll have an alternator go out. You know, I tried to set up a budget years ago. Before I got married, I was sitting down thinking about marriage. I had just proposed to my wife. She wasn't my wife then, of course. She was my fiance, but I just proposed to her, and I was looking at different things ahead, and I made up a budget, and I said, here's what I'm going to need to have for us to get by. And my dad, he said, add $400 to it. I said, oh, what do you mean $400? He said, add $400 to it. He said, something's going to come up that you're not expecting. He said, you need to have some miscellaneous money because there's things that are going to come up in life that you're not expecting. You need to set aside some money every month for that. And then carry it over to the next month, and that's how you can have some savings and some different things going on. He said, put a little extra aside for something, because something will always come up. And you know what? It has. An emergency fund, you know, a little bit here and there goes a long way. And there's always something coming up. And if you don't think it happens young in life, I can tell you what, it surely happens when you have children. A little bit of wisdom goes a long way. And so we need to be wise and not foolish. And what he's talking about here is we know that the Lord is returning. The kingdom of heaven is like this. There's some people, I got plenty of time. What happens when the Lord returns and the door is shut? There's coming a time when God's going to shut a door that no man can open, according to Scripture. What you going to do then? That bass boat going to save you? That you used to skip church on Sunday with? That fancy ATV that you spent $10,000, $15,000 on, that going to save you? Again, nothing wrong with a bass boat, nothing wrong with an ATV. But there's a lot of people using a lot of things, and they're like, I got plenty of time. No, you don't. You're not even promised the end of day. Oh, I'm young. I've heard that statement before. As a funeral director once told a preacher who wanted to focus everything for the young people, wanted to do some things that funeral director didn't want done at the funeral home. And he was going to use a funeral for an entertainment, a way to get people into his church. Funeral director said, no, we're not having that here. Preacher got mad, so-called preacher, because I don't believe he was truly called of God. He got mad at the funeral director. He said, I'm focused on the young people, not older people like you. He said, I'll tell you what, young man. He let him know real quick. He said, I've buried more people your age and younger. And probably as many as I have your age and older. You might want to be careful with that statement. Pride's a dangerous thing. And there's a lot of people thinking, I got plenty of time, I'll get that fixed another time. I'll make a last minute bed confession, all this. How many of you know when you're going to die? I can tell you this, I've been to a lot of funerals in my life. More than I want to. I'm looking forward to the day when I don't have to go to another funeral. And I know I'll have to wait for the Lord's return or Him calling me home for that to happen. But I am looking forward to that day. But when I think about all the funerals I've gone to, I've gone to teenage funerals. I've gone to little children's funerals that have died in accidents and diseases. I've gone to people's funeral in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. You name the age, all the way up to 100. And I'll be honest with you. A good number of them has been under 60. A good number of them. People think, oh man, I'll live to 70, I'll live to 80, I'll live to 100. You might want to be careful with that, because I can tell you a whole lot of the funerals I've gone to, they haven't made it to their 70s and 80s. And I've been to some people that were mighty young when they died. More of those than I want to talk about. The thought of we have tomorrow is a foolish thought. The thought of we got years, we got plenty of time, is a foolish thought when it comes to your eternity. And that's why you see this passage of Scripture and the Lord is saying, you don't know when the Lord's coming. You don't know when Christ is coming. You don't know when that's going to happen. And so your time to make preparations for that is now. Your time to be ready for that is now. The reason these were so foolish is they left knowing what they stood in need of and didn't take what they actually needed. They took lamps, but no oil. A lamp with no oil is nothing but a paperweight. It's of no use without oil. I grew up out in the country a little bit, and some of the people I came across, I know you can go to Cracker Barrel or something like that and still see them, but I can remember people having in their homes old oil lamps. Have that wick sticking out, and they would trim it up and, you know, light it on fire and have it going for a light. When they were done at the end of the day, they'd wake up the next morning and they would clean out that little glass cylinder that was around the flame. It would have all kinds of smoke on it, soot. You'd see them take a little paper towel or something, towel, and go through there and clean it out, get it ready for the next night. But if it didn't have any oil in it, them trying to light it was a waste of time. Even if you could get it lit, it wasn't going to last long. It wasn't going to accomplish any good for you. And that's what we're seeing here. The Lord is coming back, dear friend. The Lord is returning. Have you prepared for His return? And the only way you can be prepared is by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have you prepared for that? And I know there's a preparation after we're saved. For us that are saved, laying up treasure in heaven and things of this nature. And we know there's some who's just going to be saved yet so as by fire and have no rewards and things of that nature. We got that in Scripture. But dear friend, are you ready? Have you prepared for the Lord's return? I'll tell you, if people were interested in that, they'd be at church on Sunday morning. Because I'll tell you this much, somebody that's truly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to drag them to church. The Spirit of God wants them to be there. Some people make the statement, you got to go around visiting, you just got to go around doing this, this, and this. If a person's saved, I shouldn't have to drag them to church. They should want to be there. And that's not against, look, you visit for other reasons. I'm not trying to belittle that. But look, if you have to baby somebody to have them at church all the time, and if you don't visit them during the week, then they're not going to show up for church. They're more looking at the preacher than they are looking to Christ. You got the Spirit of God in you. You want to be at church. You'll want to be there pretty often. You'll want to grow. You'll want to learn. You'll want to mature and have God lead, guide, and direct you. You'll want to learn how you can serve God and be a help to your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not going to try just to focus and get off on that side of it. But at least to mention, those of us that are saved, we need to be laying up treasure in heaven, don't we, instead of laying up treasure on the earth. And we only got today to do it. We've only got this life to do it in. Lord says today is the day of salvation for those of you that are lost. Oh, I've got tomorrow. I got plenty of time, preacher. I'll come when I get ready. After I do a couple of other things, you might want to be careful with that. You know, we find in the Scripture there was a man one time that he had a harvest. Wonderful harvest. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down my old barns. I'm going to build new. And man, I'm going to be able to sell so much and make so much money. I got it easy going forward. And what he was looking at is he was looking at down the road. Instead of looking at the Lord and how God could use things and bless things, he said, I got a long time to look down. Time is such a precious thing, isn't it? But what the Lord tries to get across to us is one day our time's going to run out and we don't know when that is. And let me say this to us. I've watched my dad go off to war several times in the Army. I've gone to the airport with him, watched him get on a flight, not knowing if he's ever coming back. I've experienced those things. You know what a lot of people do when somebody's going off to war? And we hit our knees and we're praying, God, keep them safe. God, do this. We got a lot more people dying in car wrecks than dying in battlefields. And you can check the history on that. You can check the World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Gulf War. You can go through all the years. War on Terror, go through it. Go through it and examine all the people. Oh, it'll make huge news. We've had 2,000 soldiers die. You know, a big news story. Read about all the people that have died. Now go through and do an annual list of how many people have died in car wrecks and see what you come up with. We hop in a vehicle and don't think twice about it. Now let me ask you this question. How many of you have gone to funerals of people that have died in car wrecks? You know, I've made this statement before. When I started preaching, there were a pile of people still living from World War II when I started preaching. In fact, I followed a man. First church I pastored, I followed a World War II veteran. Go through those churches and see how many were lost in war, and then see how many have been lost in accidents at that church. Let me even get to a finer point of that. See how many young people have died in the church before reaching 18 versus people they've got that have died in any war. Back when there were drafts in World War II, Korea, Vietnam. Go look it up. Probably any church you go to, they're going to have a lot more people that have died in car wrecks, and young people too. And they've had people die in war. I'm trying to say all that not to scare you, not to put anything on you. I'm just trying to get to the truth of the matter. We take for granted the gift of life. And when God burdens a person's heart and says, you need to prepare for eternity. You need to prepare by trusting Jesus Christ, because you die without Him, you're going to lift your eyes in hell. You're going to lift your eyes in torment, according to the Scripture. Well, dear friend, are you going to be wise or foolish? You going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ while He's burdening your heart and giving you an opportunity? Are you going to reject Him and die as a fool dieth? That choice is in your hands. It's not mine. All I can do is preach you the gospel. All I can do is warn you and tell you to be ready. I can't make you trust in Christ. But I can tell you how foolish it is to die without Him. And how free of a gift it is to see yourself as a sinner and turn by faith. That's called repentance. Turn by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's a free gift of salvation to whosoever believeth. Dear friend, if you turn to Him today, you believed upon Him today while there's time and opportunity. Don't die like a fool dies. Don't come back and say, well, it's last minute and here's the bridegroom, Christ, and I'm not prepared. Wouldn't it be better to go ahead and have that oil? To be prepared for that day well ahead of time. I trusted Christ when I was 15 years old. And I can tell you, I trusted Him because I wanted to be prepared. Whether He came that day, whether I died that day, or whether it was 90 years down the road, I wanted to go ahead and be ready. I want to encourage you, you need to be ready. That's what the Scripture says. He said, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You don't know. So be ready today. Again, we're thankful for this opportunity to get to come and share these messages with you on the radio broadcast. We always want you to feel free. That you can call or write us at your convenience. Our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can also email us, our email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. Also, we have our statement of beliefs, and we've got some other study tools on a place called FaithwayMissionaryBaptist.com. That's a website we're affiliated with. I had somebody call me up one time, and they said they had problems loading the site, getting on there from their phone or tablet from at FaithwayMissionaryBaptist.com. And I said, would you Google it for me? They Googled Faithway Missionary Baptist, and they said the website, they scrolled down, I think it was right there on the first page that they found it. And they were able to click that link and get to the page very quickly. So if you have any problems, you can do that. You can just Google it, search it real quick, and you can find it. And again, there's some messages on there. There's some study tools, statement of our beliefs. You're certainly more than welcome to do that. And we pray this could be a blessing. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory. Help people see the need of the hour, that they would turn while there's time and opportunity to be saved. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give You the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.